Hello, listeners. If you like this show, please go to iTunes and subscribe. Rate and review our show. Thanks.
We've got two awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow. It's a TagCast podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Can I be getting paid for this, boys?
The TagCast podcast starts right now.
Prosthetic.
Welcome. Wow. To the cast.
Yes.
505.
That sounded like prosthetic fingers playing an acoustic guitar. Oh, wait, it was.
Yeah. People getting fingers are cutting off all over these days. You know, you hear about that? Uh-huh. We talked about that maybe last week.
Oh, yeah, in Japan, the pinky. Yeah. The pinky epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
Pandemic.
Yeah. I wonder if that's what really happened to Tony Iommi.
Yeah.
You think he sold his soul and the devil came to take his finger?
Yeah, they said we're just
right before.
Out. He's like, please, Jesus, I mean, Satan, just the tip.
Yeah,
because see, Jesus to him is Satan is Jesus to him.
Well, it's like he gave him the thing, and he came to take him, right? And then Tony Iommi, amazing guy as he is, actually convinced Satan not to take him, but just to take a piece of his pinky because he hadn't lived out the dream that he signed for yet.
Yeah, and Satan's like, pinky, fuck that. Give me the tip of your fucking middle finger.
Oh, yeah.
So when you flip someone off, it's just a little less offensive.
Yeah. Yep. And you can still play a power chord.
Yeah.
Well, but you know you won't be able to add that.
You're gonna have to tune
seventh.
You're gonna have to tune your strings down to like C.
Yeah.
It's like, damn it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's Black Sabbath week here at the TagCast podcast. It's a Wednesday Hump Day, and this
that
is a song.
That was the type of vocal I was thinking was gonna break in though.
Like this?
No, the one that I was all.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Your Inspector Gadget.
That. Yeah.
Your Expector Gadget.
Yeah.
So this song is a bonus track from only the deluxe version, and it's called Methodemic. Methodemic.
Nice.
Now, what do? You pay a couple extra bucks for a couple extra songs for the deluxe edition?
I don't know. Methodemic. Hmm. I'm trying to figure out if that's, like, that much different from...
a pandemic.
No, what was that one... Cheese song they had a few years ago. Ozzy did. Perry Mason.
Well, no. I know what you're thinking of, though, but...
The one that came out around the same time is
Never
a Psycho Train?
Stop. Oh, Crazy Train.
No, Psycho...
Psycho Train?
I'm thinking of, like, Kiss came out with the song, right? Psycho Circus?
Yeah, they had an album
right,
called Psycho
right
Circus.
Right at the same time that this Ozzy song that I'm thinking of came
was
out.
Was it the NASCAR song? Never gonna stop.
It might be. It might be.
But listen in the background, just kind of like you're not paying attention, and then listen. What's going on back here? It just kind of sounds like, well, not that part. It just sounds like Ozzy from The Ultimate Sin or something. When I hear that, I don't think Black Sabbath.
A couple definitely of the, songs, the part you're talking about, or not that.
The last part that was too rock, and I didn't want to call it Ozzy, but that. Sounds like new metal.
Yeah, definitely newer metal sounding.
Like Sabbath wouldn't have done that like, back in the day.
Yeah, I was going to say it's definitely 2000s sounding. Right there.
Yeah. Well, they changed it up a little bit, but it's still the same thing, kind of.
Yeah.
That just sounds like Ozzy to me, kind of. Like Ozzy Osbourne's solo album.
And that's alt metal sounding.
Alt metal? Yeah. With the
like
riff
something
in it,
you'd almost expect, like, if it was slowed down, I could see, like,
Alice
Queens
Chains
kind of
yeah
thing, even
yeah
going like a burn.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that.
So I don't know if this was just a bonus track because it was extra or it wasn't on the... It's weird to me.
Well,
huh?
he's working with Rick Rubin.
Right.
Is that any explanation of why...
They're reaching back and kind of reinventing themselves as the band that they used to be, taking songs that, to me, sound like we talked on Monday, that song, The End of the Beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a reversed mirror image of the song Black Sabbath in a weird kind of disconnected sense.
Yeah.
And I don't know if every song is going to be like that. If you could say, oh, this is the Paranoid of 2013, or this is the Iron Man.
Well, you know, Rick Rubin is a very popular producer for, like, bringing people into the main light.
And bringing them back, too,
yeah,
also.
And so it's like, maybe he, you know, as a producer, he goes in there and goes, you know, listen to some of these newer popular stuff that was...
Influenced by you,
you know, and then maybe played him a few songs and kind of got him in that mood and said, all right, and then he put him behind the instruments and said, blam, now do something.
Right.
You know, because that's why it happens when you rent a studio for like 4 or 5 months. It's just weird to me. What do you do for 8 hours a day when you're in the studio for 6 months working to do 13 songs?
Depends on what day you're in there. You might be working on a snare sound for 3 days.
It's crazy.
Just hitting a snare and adjusting it and moving mics and then take a break and then Craft Services comes in. No, I'm just
sure, sure. But, you know, but it's, you know, party. I mean, you're probably doing a lot of after the one song done, you know, dialing in the sound that you want.
For sure.
You know? And then after you got all the songs, like, kind of listening to them as a whole and going, okay, what kind of sound do we want the album to have? And then, you know, you fine-tune each song. Well, that's, you know, part of mastering, right?
And I think a lot of them with Rick Rubin is he probably came in, they probably came in with maybe less songs than they went out with, and maybe he, like, encourage them as a producer would do to flesh out some songs in the studio. Here, you got some ideas, work that out, and then it's like a more of a, the drummer's involved a little bit. And here's what I thought.
Oh, you
was,
need a triangle on that part. You're wanting a little ching. Maybe we could try a triangle. Maybe we could try some finger cymbals.
Right. And what I thought was weird, and I didn't know, because I know that Ozzy uses he writes a lot of his own songs.
Sure.
Well, every song on this album, lyrics by Geezer Butler.
Really?
Yeah, trippy, huh? I thought that was weird.
Ozzy was like, any song I write's going with my solo band. Sharon said.
Yeah. I can only write 12 songs a year, so I've got my own albums to worry about.
I got this song called Nobody Wants a Burrito.
And say, Geezer Butler, he wrote Iron Man, believe it or not.
Really?
And this is a funny story. I don't know if anybody knows
this. I thought
the
Road Warriors wrote that.
If you ever get a chance, watch, you know, they've got those VH1 classic albums series.
Sure.
Well, the Paranoid one is pretty cool, and he's talking about when they wrote that song, it was originally called Iron Bloke.
No way.
He was dead serious when he said it. And he said that in America, it would just...
I am Iron Bloke.
I am Iron Bloke.
Do you think that would have played
it? Would have changed
well?
History. It no, and he said because we were getting popular in America, he goes, I just knew that that wouldn't... Maybe their producer told him, but he's like, you could have changed that.
Rick
to suck.
Rubin called him. That was his first move ever.
Yeah, change bloke to man, dude. Dude, you got to change the bloke to man.
That producer, though, whoever that was, if it was a producer.
He goes, drop the motherfucker and say bitch, because you already said fuck in the first part.
Yeah.
Words of wisdom from Larry David.
That's
on
funny.
How to write a good
and,
rap song.
Yeah, that guy, whoever told him to change bloke to man, should be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
immediately.
He should get something for it.
He should. Because he changed history, because there's no way that metal would have been as serious if we would have been sitting around going, I am Iron Bloke.
And then it comes to the part, nobody wants him. Iron Bloke lives again.
Yep.
Iron
Bloke lived.
I am Iron Bloke. But yeah, I was kind of surprised. All
you
lyrics.
Should try that next time you do a karaoke.
Dude, if you want to chuckle, you should watch that whole episode. I think it's even on YouTube. It has the original recordings of Paranoid before Ozzy had the words written. Like the guy's got, you know how they do, he's got the whole board there. He's like, listen to this. We never erased the original tracks because he was just fleshing out the melody. And so he's like singing Paranoid, but he's just making up stuff that's just totally nonsense. Like, one day I was knocking on the... I don't even know what he says. I'd like to find it and play it, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, it says all songs, lyrics written by Geezer Butler, all music composed by Tone Iommi, Ozzy Osbourne, and Butler.
Any update on how he's doing in his cancer?
No, I haven't heard anything about it, actually, for quite some time.
I think people, you know, because Sabbath has been around since 67, right?
Right.
Well, before that. I mean, when did Iron Man come out, though? 67, 68?
Well, the first album didn't have Iron Man.
But yeah.
Black Sabbath, the first album, came out in 69.
The first album? But so the, but 71 was probably about Iron Man, 70, Paranoid.
70 was Iron Man, Paranoid. All right.
So you're talking about 43 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, think of something that happened to you 43 years ago.
I was born.
All right.
Well, 44.
All right. Now, let's say you were telling a story of something that happened to you back then. Do you think you might, by now, have embellished it?
Oh, hell yeah. Like, when I have one story. I was trying to remember my earliest memory, and it was like when I was 3. And the reason that I remember, and when my dad told me that that was in 1971, I tripped out. I was like, I can actually remember when I was 3. And my little godson, he's 3 right now, so he's he's just at the stage where he's like just coming out of little kid blackout. Because when you're from 0 to 3, you're not going to remember. It's like you took a roofie, a 3-year roofie, and you're on the roof. And then
that's
how
my whole life is, though, unless somebody like triggers a memory.
It's like, oh, I watched Hunger Games the other day, but I don't remember anything about it.
I know. That was really depressing for about a minute and a half until I started to put together what it was about.
Oh, wait. Yeah, now I remember.
Now I don't remember again.
Yeah. But yeah.
Now I remember. Okay.
I remember. But now I can't even remember what we were talking about before that.
You're talking about Sabbath.
Yeah, but what about, we were on a...
You're on a...
We're talking about Geezer Butler writing the songs, and then we're talking about Tony Iommi. And, fuck, I lost it. That's awesome, because we were talking about forgetting stuff.
Yep. You know, I was going to remember to say earlier Monday about, well, I just forgot what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, now I just remember what I was going to say. So my wife was listening to the radio in the car, and then she came back from being gone to wherever she was, and she was like, I just heard the new Black Sabbath on the radio, and they totally stole the Griefhammer riff. And I said, what song? Well, thanks. And, you know, that's nice to say, you know, you're my wife. And she tries to make it feel better about stuff. And she's like, no, I'm not kidding. She goes, I literally thought, now I'm thinking this is an, that's what we're talking, embellishing stories from a long time ago. So see how it all comes back? But she goes, no, I literally thought for a second that they were playing Griefhammer on the radio. So I instantly sent Carl a message. What new song of Sabbath are you playing? No, that was a weird answer. Carl, you fucker. He's like, check the playlist on the website. I've been playing a different song every day. Well, I guess that you get off on that, but anyway, so I tried listening to it and I tried finding it and I was like, is it this one? And she's like, nope. And I was like, is it this one? And she's like, nope. She's all, you'll know it when you hear it. Cause it's fucking, it's, I think she was like under the influence of marijuana or something. Cause I couldn't find one that sounded like us. I mean, sounded kind of like some of the stuff.
Yeah, you have to get her to hear it again because, you know.
Yeah, and I'll play the whole album for her. She's like, it's not any of those songs. I'm like, yeah, it is, though, because that's the new Black Sabbath.
Well, maybe she's hearing a Psycho Train.
Crazy Train? Crazy Train. You keep saying Psycho Train. That's a funny.
There was a Psycho Train song, though. But was there a Train song around that time from?
Train, Train.
From Ozzy?
No.
What about that that song on what was that big popular one around 93?
No More Tears.
Yeah, and that song "Throw Mama from the Train."
I'm coming home on a train.
Yeah, "Throw Mama from a Train." Great movie.
Mama, I'm coming.
People should go out and Rush and watch that.
Go out and watch Rush at the Sleep County Amphitheater, and then watch Steve Martin.
No, Martin.
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito, that old lady from the Goonies, right?
Yeah. And John Candy?
It's somebody else. I can't remember. Martin Short. Martin.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
Martin.
Don't get short.
You ever watch that show, Martin?
Martin? Yeah. It's not Martin.
He played like eight people on that show.
Martin is the producer of Black Sabbath, Martin Birch. If you say Martin, I automatically think of Martin
Birch. Did you do any research on that Stephen King Cougar Mellencamp project?
No, I didn't, but I forgot.
T-Bone King.
Burnett.
No, T-Bone.
Walker.
King. T-Bone King Cougar. Cougar T-Bone. King Cougar T-Bone.
Cougar T.
Yep.
Cougar T. Kigo.
Yep. Melon T-Bone Camp. King. Huh. King Camp. T-Bone King Camp. I don't know what's going on.
I know. Did you see the cover of the new Black Sabbath album yet?
Yeah, I watched how it was made.
Really? And I'm just reading about it. It's pretty fucking awesome.
See, they have a video.
They unveiled the cover artwork.
It took days.
It was created by Zip Design in London. They commissioned a sculptor, Spencer Jenkins, to create an 8-foot-tall 13 from wicker. Mm-hmm. And then they set it on fire in the Buckinghamshire countryside.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. The flames were visible for miles.
You should watch it. It's somewhere, it might be on Black Sabbath fan page or somewhere, but they have the making of video. And it's really cool because it's set to one of the new Sabbath songs. But it shows them like out there from the beginning of just like the sketches. And I can't remember whose idea it was, but and then they just kind of, you know, showed like quick motion and building up this wicker thing and the wind blowing and the clouds coming in and all this stuff. And then them waiting for the perfect time at dark, and then all of a sudden them lighting it up and it's showing how it did all the way to when they took the picture.
That's pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet.
That's pretty sweet. That's what I said.
It's pretty sweet.
You said it's pretty sweet, and then I said it's pretty sweet.
It actually, you know, it was interesting because... Truth be told, you know, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't really pre-hyped about the album or anything, you know. A lot of people have been talking about it
big
and stuff,
time,
and I'm
dude.
Not saying, I'm not saying, you know, anything negative. I'm just saying that.
Here's what I'm saying.
It just wasn't a huge hype monster for
big
me.
Time hype coming from Jerry Murphy, who was pre-ordered, waited for it, loved it.
Well, I just meant that, you know, just not, I didn't take on to a lot of the pre-hype of the album coming out.
Yeah, and so,
you know, I recognize that everybody's
kind of hyped
it,
and Carl kind of hyped it. And, you know, it's a big thing, you know, it's been almost 20 years since they put out a record together.
I guess that was one of the things I hadn't realized, and that's why the hype was kind of lost on me.
And Rick Rubin is at the helm, and he's kind of like a heavy metal and every other kind of music monster as well. You know, he did the new Slipknot when they kind of lost their way, and he kind of brought them back to their roots, which I don't really care for Slipknot that much.
And
but
he's
done Petty and Johnny Cash.
I mean, he took a guy in his 80s at the time, or 70s at least.
Something like that.
And
gave him a songbook full of songs that Johnny had never heard any of those songs, and he didn't listen to them.
Redefined
them
for and brought them to a whole new generation.
Did you know that he never listened to any of those songs?
Yeah.
He just looked at the chord progressions, and then they told him play it, and he
probably
just played it.
Yeah, everybody loves The Hurt, you know.
Yeah.
Just because it's better than the Nine Inch Nails.
For sure.
But he did a great, you know, Your Own Personal Jesus.
Yep.
Rusty Cage.
Yep. I'm going to take my rusty cage.
We won't back down. God, that song's just so fucking burnt.
Yeah.
I love Petty. But I hate when it comes on the radio.
I'm kind of I tried to watch a Petty concert on TV, and I tried to listen to it. I'm kind of thinking I'm in between my Petty phase.
You're over him. That's what I'm saying.
I tried to say it. It wouldn't come out of my mouth. I got all... The whole time I had Pat Wambacher in the back of my head going, I can't abandon Tom Petty.
Exactly. That's me too.
Because Pat Wambacher's my friend. And if I do, then he won't like me anymore.
Are you going to ever go back and listen to... I don't know. Any of their albums.
Like,
I guess Full Moon Fever, I've just listened to so many times. I mean, you know, it's a great album.
Even the older stuff, albums. I can't really... It's just... Anything pre-Damn the Torpedoes, I can listen to pretty well, but it's just like, I don't know. And then, like, sometimes I'm not in the mood for it, and I try to throw on some Wildflowers, which that theme or the movie
She's
soundtrack.
The one?
Yeah, I love that. That's got some harder rock and stuff.
And a Beck cover.
And that was the closest I could come to listening to the whole album, you know, hearing, like... She does anything to make you feel like an asshole.
That's Beck.
Yeah, totally. And then
have you heard the Beck version?
Yeah, you actually burnt me, I think, those two CDs of his older stuff.
Yeah, and, very like, that's almost acoustic doom.
Yeah.
He had some weird stuff back then.
She'll do anything. It's just a Tom Petty sings in his sleepy heroin voice.
It does, dude. It almost feels like it's
feel like an
it's almost
asshole.
Like it's sped down.
Yeah.
Are you like you're
she loves
that whole album makes like me feel like I'm on a heroin.
Makes you be embarrassed. He sings it so weird. It's like
he does.
And Beck always has the goofy lyric that just like has all these weird things, like
sure.
like the lyrics from Loser or whatever. It's just all these things juxtaposed against each other. And when you hear the words or say them, it just creates a weird mental imagery. It's strange
and
how that works.
And, you know, I don't know if you ever watched the movie. Ed Burns was the second movie. The first one was the brothers McCullen, I think. And they were both kind of, one of them was, I think She's the One was a big, right when Jennifer Aniston was getting big.
Yeah.
And he wrote these kind of like romantic, kind of like head twister kind of movies. And he starred in them, and those were his two big things. And then he kind of, I don't know what he, if he did anything after that, but he was a real big director at the time, just with those two movies, I recall. And, you know, a good movie. I haven't watched it since. But the soundtrack's great.
Yeah, it wasn't a terrible romantic comedy. I mean, like, it was one that I watched all the way through. And
and there was some, like, brotherly kind of, like bickering, I think, or something like that, too, which kind of, you know, kept the comedy aspect up.
And it helped in my aspect of kind of growing to love the album before I ever saw the movie. And then some of the songs kind of, it's the storyline goes along with the storyline. So it's like, oh, this is a Tom Petty album movie.
Yeah, it definitely went very well with the movie. And, you know, I remember watching that one because I enjoyed the Brothers McCullen, which was kind of a romantic comedy, but with that same kind of like brotherly kind of, you know, the same kind of story.
Right.
Basically, you know. That was a long time ago, man.
Yes, it was.
You know, I finally watched that Ace Frehley ghost story thing.
I tried to find it, and I couldn't find it. Celebrity, I was actually at my wife's grandma's house, and she has Comcast On Demand, and so I looked for Celebrity Ghost Stories, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I didn't know where to look, I guess.
I'll send you another link. I think they show it directly on their
is
webpage.
Is there one on YouTube? Oh, okay.
But yeah, the one on this particular one has George Wendt on there.
Oh,
and
where'd he went?
You talked to where he went, and him and his wife went to buy this place, and he went downstairs, and there was this huge bar, and he thought, I'm home. You know, come on, Norm, bar. Right? And so, but the owner had demanded that before anybody buy it, that they spend the night in the house.
Ooh.
And so they did with their two kids or whatever, and there was like, turns out it was like on an old Indian massacre site or something.
Ah,
and so basically he they had blood running down the walls, and they saw images outside of like Indians outside their windows, and the lights would go off, and they all took off and never went back.
Ah, they couldn't handle it.
Yeah, but the Ace Frehley one, you know, I mean, his one was really interesting. You know,
does he believe? Did he seem like he believed it?
He said, I think he really wasn't. I don't know. Yeah, I think he believed it. Yeah, for sure. You know, they're just the happenings. I don't think he was like an immediate thing, but I think after a while he really put things together. But I think he was also open to those kind of ideas because he did bring in a psychic to kind of bring it in. But what was going on was they had bought this house, and his daughter had fallen down the stairs, and she felt like she was pushed, and it happened again to his wife, and then afterwards with that, he had another girlfriend in there, and the same thing happened to her, and they all had broken bones. And, you know, it turned out that there was a mother that abused her children and ended up pushing them down the stairs, killing them.
Oh.
And so, you know, all this violence was always directed towards the women in the house and stuff like this. And
as well it should be.
Yeah. And so, you know, they show recreations and you get goosebumps. And then whenever I watch shows like that and then you get those cold chills, you know, I don't know if that happens.
Oh, yeah.
And I always go, this is either really good directing or there's a ghost in here.
Yeah.
Right behind me.
It likes to watch ghost stories, too.
Yeah, and I'm all looking around just like, to see if, like, I see anything, like, in the images of the...
Like, if ghosts talked like people think ghosts talk, that ghost would be saying, I never miss a celebrity virgin. Mm-hmm. I like Kiss. They're my favorite band.
Yeah, yeah. You know, my thing...
Don't charge stuff on your credit card.
I just thought it was Tommy Thayer. Playing pranks on him.
Yeah.
Trying to drive him to the mental house.
Yeah, because he should be crazy. I bet, you know, he probably... I wonder if he fucks with him. Like,
it's crazy seeing Ace Frehley now, though.
Once you...
You know, no makeup and, you know...
It sucks to see someone else in his makeup. I don't think that it's fair that you should be able to just give the... I guess it's up to Paul and Gene.
Yeah. It's a very interesting watch, though. I definitely recommend checking it out just to...
I wonder if I can find it on YouTube.
You might be able to, you know, maybe, you know, they kind of, it's one of those shows to where in the hour long they have like three or four and they'll show sometimes it'll be interweaving. So you have to watch the whole episode or whatever. But I think it's more towards the end where he goes on, they show the George Wendt, which is kind of interesting. And they show like a thing of blood pouring down. So you imagine that's what he saw, but then you start to wonder if like, is that the visual he saw, or was it like more you know, because is it really blood running down that wall, or is it just like a mental trick to make you think there's blood going down that wall, you know? So, I mean, when they show you the visual of like actual gobs of blood, you know, rolling down this wall, you wonder, is that really how it appeared to them, or was it more like a... almost see-through like, thing to where it's like ghostly, and you know, it's, you know.
I wonder if ghosts can create things to make you see like an illusion of blood running down the wall, or if that's just you know, it makes it even harder for me to believe in ghosts. What do you think? A ghost can just like overtake your eyeballs and make you see blood?
Yeah.
Or.
Well, they had left after they went to that house. They went to her brother's house or whatever that lived near the area, and he told a local, you know, he opened up about the stories he had heard about the place and how people had seen that blood going down the wall or whatever.
Right.
You know? I mean, they play it up. It's a story, you know.
Well, here's this. You know, if anyone out there listening, and every time we talk about the paranormal or ghost stories, I don't buy it. So if you got a haunted house, you think that I can't stay at all night without getting attacked by a ghost, hit me up because I got this camper. It's my new paranormal or podcasting or comedy tour or going camping with my wife. It's cool. It's a truck that has a camper that pops up and it's all self-contained. I will go there and I won't even stay in my camper. I'll go into, where do you want me to go? The basement of a mental institution that had many crazy people killed and their souls were left in the basement when they got burnt up in the incinerator. I ain't scared. Those people are dead and gone. Their spirits, they have no power over me. They won't manifest themselves to me because I don't have faith, just like God. That's why my leg didn't grow out when I was growing up. They prayed for me.
So you're saying because you do not believe in ghosts, they do not exist?
No.
Is this a perception?
I'm not saying that they don't exist.
Is this a perception as reality thing?
I don't believe that they don't exist. I believe that they exist for some people, but I think for people who don't believe that they exist, who don't ever see any manifestation of them, that's why, because the ghosts don't want to waste their time on us. Like Sasquatch. If you don't believe in Sasquatch, you're never going to see him. But if you know that he's real... he'll come and steal your jerky.
Is that just manifesting it into your own mind, though, with just the power of wanting to believe?
No, all these creatures like Sasquatch and Loch Ness Monster and unicorns.
You just haven't been in a building that's been haunted, like truly. So you don't,
maybe.
You've never felt that, like,
and
you've never seen, like, a a glass on a table like fly into a wall or something like that. That'd be just like, whoa. Because if you saw that, wouldn't you be just
dude,
be
the word that out? I the word that I comes to mind of about something like that, I long for that to happen. I long for that to happen. I want to see some type.
Well, then you should be going and checking out these haunted houses.
But I don't. I long for it, but I'm not going to waste my time because I don't think that it's going to happen. But if someone could tell me, dude, you go to this house at this certain place and it's haunted as fuck, and if you go in there, especially if you try to do this certain thing or this, these spirits really hate these two specific things, I'll do those things. I just want to see it. I want to see it. I'm ready. And I don't know where you live. Maybe you live in Idaho. I know we have some listeners in the Boise area.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could just go online and find out, look up for haunted locations.
Yeah,
I think that's all
propaganda to me. So I need someone who's seen it with their own eyes and is going to say to me with their own mouth, "Hey, Terry Guile, I've been to this place. I will not go back there. It scared me. I'm scared.
I think you should talk to a guy. His name is Yancey.
I've heard about him, and he wants to come into my car wash and look for Sasquatch or something, which is weird.
Yeah,
I've never seen.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know if he. I've never seen him really talk about ghosts or anything of that kind of paranormal. But
no,
I don't know if that's something he believes. But your place is allegedly haunted, but you've never felt anything.
That's right.
And so you know, I mean, I believe that it could happen. I just don't know if I've ever been in a place that has allowed. Any kind of that, you know, I mean, I don't know if I've ever been in a place where somebody has died and not in a mysterious circumstance where they couldn't cross over or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Or to where they have unfinished issues of themselves, so they hang out in the purgatory or whatever, if you believe in that whole heaven and hell deal kind of thing.
And then, you know the story they were just talking about getting pushed down the stairs. My wife's sister, Jessica, says that she swears that the house that she lives in now, someone shoved her down the stairs, and she didn't get hurt badly, but she said she felt a physical presence push her. Mm-hmm. So, and I was like, of course, me. That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, who knows? If you, I mean, it seems to me when they have these psychics and people come on and talk about, to these people in these houses and stuff, it's usually it correlates to something that they eventually show as something that happened in the past and is documented.
Right.
You know, I mean, they show the newspaper clippings of the people that, you know, the mother that pushed their kids down the stairs, and they show the...
And she blames it on a ghost.
Yeah, or like the one I watched with Barry Bostwick where it was like the kids... there was a kid that fell down the river. You know, it was in the newspaper back in 1820 something or whatever, whenever it happened. You know, I mean, it's not like these things are not documented. A psychic maybe just, it would be dumb to not do research if that was your job anyway, was to go to investigate paranormal things. You'd want to have the most knowledge about everything that happened on there anyway. So you would be able to, like, you know. Well, you might. I heard you got some ghosts here. You know that people died here. That'd be the first thing I'd say.
Yeah, you're telling me this place haunted? I don't believe you. Bring me there. I'll go there. So that's a shout out to everybody in any town USA where you're listening to the TagCast podcast. I can't guarantee I could make it more than 500 miles.
Wow.
For fun. Just because I got this new camper.
Oh, okay.
It's going to cost.
Sure.
We want an excuse to go somewhere. Okay. And if I have to go, my wife would fucking flip out. She's scared of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
I bring a video camera, the Tascam. We fucking document that shit.
Sure.
Dispel.
They got those little things, too, to where they'll record it. Uh-huh. And then they'll ask questions.
Yeah.
And then they'll play it back.
With extra...
or sometimes you'll just hear a little...
Yeah, but they'll not manipulate the recording, but like they'll take a mix and they'll like raise up the mids or something, and so you can hear it better and like more defined or whatever. But yeah,
slow it down until it says something.
You are mine.
Yeah,
get out.
When you're listening, like, you're like, was that a cat or was that the wind or?
If you do, man, take a video camera, document the whole trip.
Oh man, so yeah. Send a message to contact@tagcastpodcast.com. Put in the subject line something like,
haunted.
Terry Ghost or Ghostbusters or I ain't afraid of no ghosts because I don't think they exist. But anyway, enough about that ghost shit. Like I was telling you about my comedy show, Andy Andrus had came up to me and he's like, hey, I like that Black Sabbath joke because I had that one about fairies wear boots where Ozzy's just fucked up and he just says, yeah, instead of the fourth line. And he's like, I was just watching the Ozzy doc or the Black Sabbath documentary before I came down here to the show. He goes, so that was pretty cool that you told that joke. And so just to prove my point that Ozzy was fucked up, now listen to this. I found it. This is the original Skit Scat version of Paranoid before he had the words written. So check this out. Oh, shit. Where'd it go? Stop. I think it's right here.
Nothing to do with Paranoid at all.
People say my mind's all things with things that you can't see me now. Why are you on my mind all day long? I can't think straight no more.
It's pretty obvious he's just riffing it just to
he's
get
riffing.
An idea for the melody in his head.
What else he got?
I don't think he's even singing off a lyric sheet. I think he's just making them up as he goes along.
Everyone is saying I'm mad because you're the only girl that I've ever had. I love you, but you don't want to know me, but I think you're great and I want to see.
Sorry for the Bob and Tom there, but he's like, I know.
That's crazy.
What was he saying?
Smile into my face. Oh, yeah.
I think you don't know me because you are the only one that ever loved me. Weird, dude. Yeah, so Ozzy was a riffer, I guess. I got this melody, but I don't have any lyrics, but it's going to go, I see you down there on the sidewalk and you are walking along.
Yeah, well, some people go, la-dee-da-dee-da-dee-la,
or
ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it.
That's right. Have you eaten at McDonald's lately?
I haven't. I'm still on my McDonald's boycott.
Right on.
And whenever I hear people talking about it, I say, don't go there. But it sucks because that's my daughter's job.
Oh.
She's a manager. She don't have to eat that shit, though, I guess. But
yeah. Well, you know, I mean.
If I tell enough people not to go to McDonald's, she won't have a job anymore because my word is very taken with not with a grain of salt, but like
a
ton of bricks.
Well, this, you're talking billions, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, I influence a lot of people more than you might think. So I was telling Dustin this story, and we never got to it because we've just been having lots of fun talking about whatever we talk about. But this cop is not getting in trouble. He's from North Ridgefield, Ohio. And a homeowner called the Humane Society because they had some abandoned kittens in a wood pile. So the cop came out, and the cop just went out to the wood pile and fucking shot them all right there. And the kids were watching from the upstairs window, and they were screaming, ah, he's killing our kitties. So you'd think now they've got the Ohio Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, I guess, OSPCA. And they wanted him to be fired, and he informed her shelters that, informed her that the shelters were full and that the cats would be euthanized anyway. And he said that it is another form of euthanizing, but just using a gun. So it's like,
sure, as long as they're not suffering.
She thought it was a tranquilizer gun. And so when he went to the truck to get the gun, she thought that he was going to like tranquilize them and trap them.
Mm-hmm.
But the kids were in the upstairs windows screaming and crying, watching him shoot. And
that would be horrifying.
It's absolutely shameful that someone with the title of a humane officer would do this. But he said the cats were located within the woodpile and they were euthanized. The cats were removed from the woodpile and taken from the residents. Research and other animal organizations accept shooting as an acceptable means of euthanasia. And they said that his actions were appropriate, but the humane officers would be trained in the future at improving their communications with the public. Like, tell the kids, don't look because I'm going to euthanize
them. Yeah, or tell the mom, hey, you know, maybe you should take the kids over hey, how about you take the kids to Chuck E. Cheese this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to come out and euthanize your cats. And I took a kind of rough one time. Just recently, I was out of my friend's house who live out in the country, and they've got ducks and chickens. So they're doing a little farming, you know. They're raising chickens, selling eggs, making ducks, selling ducks, little ducklings. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, yeah, I had to shoot a bunch of feral cats the other day. And I was like, you're just shooting cats? She's like, yeah, they're feral. And I'm like, well, that's like saying his name's Feral, so I'm going to shoot him. You know, it's not his fault that he's feral. Why are you shooting these cats? Oh, well, they attack try to kill my chickens, and they try to kill my dogs. Not my dogs. My ducks, excuse me. But so she's shooting feral cats, which I guess shooting is a acceptable form of euthanasia.
As long as they're not suffering, you know, I don't see...
No, you shoot them once in the head.
Why anyone would have any issue with it, especially if they're just going to be put down anyway and somebody's going to charge money for that.
See, like, there's that kitty. Did you hear about that two-faced kitty that was born in Amity just the other day? Or it was last week now, last Thursday? It was a cat born with two heads in Amity, Oregon. It was on KGW News.
That's an Amityville whore.
That is. It was crazy.
Not a horror, a whore.
And those things are called Janus kittens. You know why?
Janus Dickinson.
No, they look just like her vagina.
Yeah.
Her vagina looks like a two-headed kitty.
Your brother is?
Uh-uh.
Bruce.
Oh. La. So Janus is the Roman two-faced god. So they call him that. But this cat...
Two-faced as in he has two heads, or he's two-faced as in...
No, as in he has two heads, yes. They said in one joke the kitty was two-faced, but it always told the truth.
That guy in He-Man had three faces, remember him?
Yeah. So the mother rejected the newborn, and they took to feeding it with an eyedropper. They named him Deucey. They dropped a deuce, and then the cat died like 2 days later. And the Portland Oregonian said that most kittens born with two faces soon die after birth because you can't survive as a two-face in Portland. No, no, he's heard of there. A few do survive. One of them lived to be 12. Could you imagine having a full-grown 12-year-old cat with two heads?
Well, Portland is a hipster city.
Yeah, I got a 12-headed cat, a two-headed cat. I only lived for 2 years.
Yeah. I just saw them together. It doesn't matter, you know. Well, so, what would happen is you would end up with a two-headed human or cat centipede.
Yeah, so you'd think... Yeah, you would. So if you think that a cat is going to die, it was probably suffering somewhat. If it was a newborn and then it just dies 2 days later, it probably couldn't have been that comfortable, even if you were coddling it and feeding it with an eyedropper. So here's my question. Is that more cruel than that dude going out to the fucking woodpile and shooting up a bunch of kitties?
I think the only thing cruel about the kitty pile thing is that the kids happen to see it.
Yeah.
I think that's the worst part of that story. I don't think it's inhumane if they called the shelter and the shelter said they're just going to be put down anyway.
Right.
And
there's no room for
him. You got a humane officer. He's obviously...
knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing as far as shooting.
Killing kitties.
Well, yeah, or taking care of putting any animal down. So I'd assume that. I can't imagine what that would be like for a kid looking out a window and seeing that go on, though. I think that you know, that would be very upsetting.
Because when you even find a litter of kitties...
I think the correct thing is to communicate better with the public when that's going to go on. Or... You know, maybe he should have tranquilized him. But even then, you're seeing a guy shoot cats.
Right.
You know, you might trap him or, you know, maybe even tell the kids that, you know, we're going to go and put him into kitty land where there's an island where we put all kitties and they have all their little toys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you could actually make that if you wanted. There is that volcano that's rising. It just rose out of the sea in like the 1920s. And it's near Mount Krakatoa, I think, or in that kind of Pacific ring, you know, where all those things are, you know, and it rose out of the sea in 1920, and since the 50s, it's rose like 5 inches. I want to say it's tough to say a day, but I think I don't know if that's accurate. Let's not say that. Let's go, you know, it's growing astronomically, but you know, this thing. No, I'll put all the kitties on there, and when the volcano goes off, eventually, whatever, whenever, you know, they'll all die. They'll never know what hit them.
Yeah, sorry.
So, you know, no, I was just, you know, saying
no, I hit
they'll never know what hit them. And so it'll be just as safe.
Right.
And you'll have them on this little volcanic island. If they fall in, you know, they'll land on their feet, but they'll melt instantly.
Hot lava, hot lava.
Yeah.
I like to play hot lava game. And then, like, so if the dude would have just came there and said, okay, miss, I've located the cats. I'm going to take care of the cats. Please take care of your kids. Put them somewhere. Turn the TV on loud with SpongeBob or something and keep them in the other side of the house because I'm going to go shoot these cats in the head with a gun. Not a cap gun. Not a tranquilizer. I'm going to kill them. Because, sorry to say, but that's where they're going to kitty heaven. And that's what he said. They went to kitty heaven. The kids are like, so, yeah, but you shot them in the head.
So maybe he should have been out there with like a hitman with a silencer on there. You know, I mean, sure, because is he doing this with, like, a long-range rifle?
No, it was a pistol. It
was like a pow, pow. Yeah, put a fucking silencer on there. You know, I don't know if kids need to be seeing that anyway, really, because they're just going to, you know, kids are susceptible to get ideas just from
watching people. Yeah, and once you start killing cats, next thing you know, you're a serial killer.
What was that?
Dude, I've been reading this crazy-ass book. Go ahead.
That following show with Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
There was a scene I saw yesterday in a repeat. I've seen it before. But they had kidnapped one of the kids, and they're teaching him how to kill, and he had a butterfly or something in a jar, and the guy's like telling him, go ahead, screw the lid on. It'll suffocate and die. It's like, it's all right. That's what we do. You're just beginning, and he screws it on there.
Ooh. Is that show worth watching?
I don't know. I tried to keep up with it, but after, like, episode 3, I stopped caring.
Yeah, so that
it's
means...
You got to kind of watch... It's one of those ones you can't just kind of keep in the background, so those kind of shows, like, sometimes avoid unless it really grabs me, and this one didn't really grab me like that, you know? But maybe once...
And those are kind of my favorite kind. If a show's good enough, that's going to grab me to where I watch every aspect of the show. And if I have to go out of the room for a second, I pause it and I make sure I know what the fuck's going on. Like those heavily interweaved shows that made the top 10 list that we were talking about. The Sopranos. All those shows. You got to watch those fuckers.
I would say it'd probably be worth delving into if the whole season was available.
Yeah.
You know, to where you could, you know, you're not doing the... week by week by week thing.
Did you ever try watching that Netflix original series?
No, Hemlock Grove.
Okay, yeah, me neither. I did watch...
There's a new one going on there. Or not a new one. Go ahead.
A new what? I watched a new movie that's not new, but it was new in the new releases that had a bunch of hype up to it, and everybody said, oh, don't ever ask what it's about, and don't watch a preview, just go to it. It's excellent. The Cabin in the Woods. Remember when that came out, like, a couple years ago?
I've gone onto that movie, like, 3 or 4 times, but then picked something else. Don't tell me anything about it then. I won't,
but you never watched it?
No.
Okay, now that only thing I'll tell you about that is that you have to watch it kind of like those series we were talking about. You got to watch it, especially at the first. But then, like, it does have a different twist, and it is pretty much a normal horror movie of kids going out into
the woods.
I've
been meaning to watch it. It's in my next probably upcoming 3 or 4 watches. I just got to be in the mood for a horror movie.
I thought it was pretty good. I watched the whole thing without falling asleep. Right. I had no idea what was going on, which was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And then once I found out, it made it even more like, what? Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, okay. And then you think, okay, what? But yeah, a little bit, you know, I don't know. Not the greatest movie in the world, but for one of those movies where a bunch of 20 somethings go out into the woods and try to have sex and smoke weed. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a stoner character on there that's pretty funny. Like that guy, but yeah, finally watched that.
Gillian Anderson has a series that's on there. It's like 5. It's a BBC series, and I heard some good things about it. It's called like
Downton Abbey,
Nancy, or something like that. Weird.
Downton Abbey, Nancy.
Wonton Abbey is a new Chinese show.
Oh, that'd be excellent.
It's a Wonton Abbey.
Let's do the spinoff. First, we'll have to watch the Downton Abbey first to find out what the do you know anything about it?
No,
I just hear people
talk
about it.
It's like aristocratic people, like people that sit up on their hill and look down on people, right?
That must be why Seth liked it so much.
Isn't that what it's kind of about? It's
Downton.
It's the reverse.
It's English, though, ain't it?
Yeah, it's the reverse of the oblongs.
Oh, okay.
It's from the point of view of the people up on the hill.
All right.
Not down in the toxic dump. You watch The Oblongs, right?
I believe I did, but I haven't for a long time, so I can't. I mean, I know it was like Arnett?
Will Ferrell.
Oh, Will Ferrell, that's right.
Yeah, and some other pretty good players.
See, I know I watched it because it was Will.
One of those so offensive things.
It was a Will.
That, it didn't last very long because it was Fox.
Where there's a Will, it'll get canceled.
Oh, I heard he was. I heard he was on that goddamn movie, dude.
Which goddamn?
Fucking.
This is the end?
No.
What's the goddamn movie?
Goddamn fucking.
What is wrong? Why are you so mad? You're
that
cussing.
Fucking goddamn movie that you.
Which goddamn movie are you talking about?
Owen Wilson, fucking Vince Vaughn one.
Oh, I Google heard he internship.
I heard he has a fucking guest spot on there. Like,
who are we talking about
movie.
Again?
Will Ferrell.
Oh. Yeah, well, I don't doubt it. Why, you don't like him being guest all the time?
I don't like that fucking idea that he's a guest in that movie.
Yeah. Why not?
It was just cheap.
Yeah, well.
I did watch that one movie you were talking about the other day. Oh, this one.
Which one?
This is why I thought it was you that was telling me about that. You told me about a movie a while back where.
Speaks Spanish?
No, about a star that really wasn't listed in the movie, and it ended up being Woody Harrelson.
Oh, wasn't that No Country for Old Men?
I don't remember.
What the fuck? Didn't you say you just rewatched it?
No.
Oh.
I thought that of The Hunger Games, because he was in The Hunger Games, and I didn't expect him to be in The Hunger Games. So that's why I thought that you had watched it, because I remember us talking about that.
And that had that in common with the... Okay.
Yeah. Well, because he wasn't a list of... You know, I didn't, like, go down the whole back of the box or anything. I just saw the two main stars.
Well, sometimes they don't even list them.
Yeah, and he was pretty comical in there. You played the mentor. And the whole thing of this story is that let's say it's county, because that's basically what it is. Yeah. Let's say every county in Oregon had to offer up a boy and a girl. Right?
Right.
And then all these boys and girls from all the counties are, there's only one person coming home.
Right.
Out of all those.
One out of all the counties?
Yeah. One person out of all the men and women in all the counties. So when you got, like, when you're chosen as a representative of your county and you're sitting there looking at the girl as the representative of the county.
Right.
You're realizing she's going to have to die for you to come back.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. I'm going to try to watch that because that was one of the ones, like, for you, like The Cabin in the Woods. I've almost clicked on it.
Sure.
I've actually clicked on it and read the thing and then said, let me see if I can find anything else. And then I obviously must have found something else. So,
yeah.
Check out The Hunger Games, and you check out The Cabin in the Woods.
I will. I'll watch it.
And yeah, then celebrity birthdays are crap today. Ann Wilson from Heart.
Yeah.
She's
and
old.
Nobody's died this week.
And Garfield. It's Garfield's birthday today, Wednesday.
Nice,
how old do you think Garfield is?
Oh, geez. Garfield, man. 51, I'm going to say he was his first year.
1951?
Yeah.
No, he's a youngster. He's Generation
yeah.
X.
I almost
1978, brother. He's younger than you.
I
Garfield's only 35. I didn't even think Cats
I thought 51 was way too old.
I didn't think Cats really lived to be 35 years old, but.
I watched, I was a big Heathcliff fan.
No way.
And Garfield.
I was gonna say that's the wrong dude.
Yeah, I remember buying a mini Garfield, before even Farside, Garfield had those, little, funny shaped, but they were, long books. Remember those?
Yeah.
For like cartoon panels. And
yep.
He had so many of those, like 60 or 100 of those probably.
Yeah.
You know, which sparked, Calvin and Hobbes did that. It opened up a huge, market for those kind of books, which included The Far Side eventually.
Yeah.
Garfield, I think, had a big explosion of, for the Sunday comics and stuff in the 80s. It was, very important in my childhood.
Yep, so we should get him a big lasagna with 35 fucking candles on it that were like candy candles.
And Heathcliff, a blatant ripoff, he loved to eat. But he was an alley cat, where Garfield was a house
spoiled
cat.
A spoiled house cat.
You know,
he always had the remote.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been watching, cat. You know, as a kid, I only watched the books. I looked at the books. There was never a Garfield show.
Yeah, or a cartoon.
Because, like, yeah. I was already grown up by the time he came out. And now sure. I've been watching with my godson some Garfield from probably the 90s, maybe, mm-hmm. or even, like, yeah, probably the 90s. And he's got that laid-back stoner voice. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, John, where are you going? And then, you know, there's been some pretty cool stuff. I never got to enjoy the Garfield as
a animated comic. He was never one that ever talked, though. He only thought, right?
Yeah, but he talks in the series that I watch.
But does his mouth move?
Yeah. Well, it goes like a kid. Oh. But yeah, weird. And Odie and he always gets Odie in trouble.
Yep. Like he's always pushing him off the table.
Yeah, always something.
Huh. I've never watched the cartoon, so I don't know.
Check it out on Netflix for kids. All right. Or it's on regular Netflix, too, but Netflix for kids just has it. And my godson has recently found out Netflix for kids. He loves to say that because so he found out he wants to watch Netflix for kids. When I try to get him to watch the DVR or Dish Network, he's like, no, Netflix for kids. And I was like, yeah, tricks are for kids. And he's like, what? No, Netflix are for kids. Silly rabbit. Netflix for kids.
So it's like a where it doesn't show any of the adult content or right, whatever. They can just manage the remote. And
yeah, so you
on.
Give it to him, and he's learned to work the Wii now to where he can point it at the screen
Sweet.
And go. So just set him free, and there's no way that he's going to accidentally come across like nude nun bikers from hell.
Because a great movie.
I don't know if that's even a real one, but it's going to be now. Have you seen that one, Hans? Nude nun bikers from hell.
Yeah.
That's. Oh, shit. I just tried to be cool, and I fucking blew it, but nobody even knows. Cause
yeah, nobody
hear.
Knows.
But, yeah, I blew it all over. I blew it. I accidentally blew myself again.
People should go and try out that meat market pizza over at Pizza.
Oh, man. It's sitting in my gut right now, feeling fine.
I'm at Pizza Now.
What'd you say?
I'm not going to say it again.
All right, Pizza Now. They don't live in a hut. So Hans O'Rama, let's see, I forgot to write it down, so I'll have to look in my phone in case anyone wonders. No, I don't make this shit up. I get a text message from Hans every other day. And today,
nice.
Now, I've heard this band before, and I think even Norska got to play with them up in Portland. Never have heard the band, though, so I'm going to check them out. Thanks to you, Hans, on this hump day. He's listening to Bellwitch.
Ah,
the album is called Longing, and that's what I do to find a ghost.
You know what? I'm gonna give them a name for an album.
Okay.
To Bellwitch it.
How about Smell Ditch?
To Bellwitch it.
To Bell Witch it?
Yeah. No, to Bellwitch it. Like to hell with it, but
oh.
To Bellwitch it.
Oh, I thought you said like a Tabell widget.
Ah.
That's like a widget.
Yeah,
for
a Tabell being
you know,
the one word.
No, Tabell is a dude.
Tabell?
Yeah. Somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah,
and
that is true.
He has a widget that he came up with.
It's a form of Toby.
He did like to say rock and or roll, is what Hans says. So thanks, Hans, for that.
What's he
see.
Listening to? Oh, to Bellwitch. Bellwitch.
To hell with it. He's like, he comes home, he's like, to hell with it. I'm listening to Bellwitch it.
Yep.
I got a widget on my phone for some Bellwitch.
Dude, they should have a widget on their phone. What kind of apps do you run on your phone?
Shit, I don't run shit. I run Move Music. I run my Cricket Navigator.
You don't have any, like, you get updates on bands through the Twitter or anything?
Nope,
like
I got
that.
Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. I got my Gmail app so I can check my email and I get notifications. Other than that, I got, like, Angry Birds Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I got YouTube Widget. Subway Surfer, that's fucking fun. You ever play that?
Mm-mm.
Dude, that's fun. It's like a Mario game.
I got the Windows phone, so I don't have any of those games that
you
are
on. You can go to Google Play. Oh, you can't go to Google? You can't say Google on Windows?
I
got my Twitter app. I got a barcode scanner for those crazy stickers that you made that say TagCast Podcast on them. I got a sound recorder in case someone calls me and I want to record them and play them on the podcast.
I have one game that it's like a...
That's about
it's
it.
It's so stupid when you to play to be obsessed with a game. Well, not I. There was a while where I played this game often on there, but it was one of those old. You know, you'd go to the carnival and they'd have those bulldozer.
Right.
And they'd push the coin over the edge.
Oh yeah.
That seemed like a fun game to me, but after a while, what do you do with all those coins?
You put them back in, and then it pushes a prize off eventually.
Yeah, but then those prizes don't really do anything. It's a game.
Hey.
If it pushed it out the bottom of my phone, Even in a printable form, that'd be kind of cool if it had like a little printer on the bottom.
They should have like a wadded up dollar bills or something that you can accidentally push off.
Yeah, even if you put your own money in there, it'd kind of be cool, right?
Yeah, seems like it.
Or if it just like rolled $1 like in a loop. So it just looked like an endless dollar coming out of the bottom.
Yeah.
The Game Boy back in the day, the Nintendo Game Boy had a game that was, it took pictures and then it would print it onto stickers that were about as wide as those little stickers that I have, those, you know, the vinyl ones that you're talking about.
Right.
But it'd just be paper stickers, and it had, you know, it was all black and white printing, you know, it was very basic, but you could, like, dots kind of thing,
right,
but
right.
It would make it out. You could take pictures of friends and stuff, and we had it back in the Orange Frampton days and had some, I think we printed out and put them on some album covers at the time. Hmm. I don't know if I have any of those actually, but the Game Boy, yeah, it was a little photo thing towards the end of its life. It was kind of a cool thing. I don't know if it would be something you could find now or if it'd be cool now with all the, you know,
all the
things.
New-
but, you know, you don't. Why don't they have like a little printer that you could just attach to your little phone? That it would just print out some little dumb little half-inch square or something. You know,
if it comes right out of your
dot,
phone?
Dot matrix thing that you could make a sticker, add a little paper sticker.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just stick it in right on the end of your phone with the little charger thing. I'm sure it would transfer over, or you could get a cable or something.
Right, I don't see why that wouldn't work.
Yeah, you know, something just a little small.
Yeah.
You go check this out and be cool for the first time somebody sees
print out a picture of your dick.
Or when
say, look, it's dot matrix of my penis. It's not actual size,
oh,
though.
Oh, man.
Because that doesn't have a big enough piece of paper.
Yeah.
Actually, I got to make a mosaic of that. What's this?
It'd be like half an inch wide. And then
this is the left half of my ball sack, actually. You got to put four of them together to make the whole picture.
Have you ever done that where you print out like
50 sheets and it makes a big picture?
Yeah.
Picker. A big, it makes your dick bigger.
Yeah.
Is that what I said? No, I've never, but I've had seen people do it.
You know, I don't know if you've ever been over at the workplace over there.
Yeah.
Ron and I's work. But it's all on the floor, and then above is the office, and it's all windows around, you know, and Don's there, but it's got a big window.
Right.
But he's basically, he's always working on his computer, but, you know, he has a good view down. And one time Dave printed out, it must have been an 8x8 picture of Don, and then posted it right there in the window. So whenever
he's
we looked up, there was this big,
that's
scary
awesome
picture. It was like the one of those rock poses that he does with like Fave 55, or that he had on the cover of Knockout John, to where he's
kind of like,
you know, looking kind of mean.
Yeah,
down like on
Uncle Sam.
Stuff.
I
it
want
was
to.
Cool.
Yeah, the only person I know who's done that personally is Phil, and it was over
a skyline.
It was over 100 pieces of paper.
He did color, or did he go black and white eventually?
I think he went black and white.
Yeah, in the long run, but it was like 13 or 15
whole wall
refills.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I can't remember what city it was, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That would be
cool.
Pretty cool. I think, you know, it'd be fun to do that just like on a pegboard.
Right.
And then, you know, you could put the holes in there and you could make like a, you know, if you glossed it over afterwards.
Yeah.
And then you could make like a kitchen thing to hold your pots and pans and
have
shit
you seen those pictures over the last couple months made of Rubik's cubes?
No.
Like they stack Rubik's cubes. Hundreds of like thousands of Rubik's cubes. And then you know how you can make them different colors and whatever.
Yeah.
The one I saw was like Martin Luther King, and it was like a fucking as big as a wall, like bigger,
really?
Bigger than the whole wall in this room.
Just on the six colors that are available on a Rubik's cube.
Yeah, and you know how you can get those pictures that if you look close, it doesn't look like nothing, but from a distance, kind of
like
those
pictures that are made
McDonald's
with pictures.
Yeah, the McDonald's pictures where it has all the workers, and then from a distance it looks like one person.
Yeah.
But you look close and it's all pictures or.
I love those pictures.
Yeah, so it's kind of
or
a
like you know
stuff.
They do like Star Wars where it has like all little Star Wars scenes.
But then you
then
look back
like,
and it's R2-D2 or something.
Yeah,
yeah. And what have you been listening to? Anything? besides the television?
I watched Super 8 the other day. Have you seen that?
Yeah. I thought it was kind of overrated. I watched that.
Me too.
Yeah.
I thought it was...
For who was involved, I thought it was going to be bigger and better.
For all the hype I heard, I thought it would be so great. And all I have to really... You know what? You really want to know my real opinion of Super 8?
Not really, but I'll let you say it.
All right.
No.
Way to try to make a modern-day Stand By Me, but fail.
Yeah, big time. Coming of age story, my ass.
Yep. Fail. It's the guy that did Lost. Is the guy that the bad robot guy?
Yeah,
but immediately, because I didn't know really what it was about or anything. I just heard a lot of people talk about it, and I kept confusing it with that
8mm.
Yeah,
with Nicolas Cage,
the snuff film movie.
Yeah,
and I'm like, why is everybody talking about that snuff film movie like it's 10 years ago?
I'm
so
glad
great.
That I'm not the only one, because it's the same thing. And I'm like, oh, that was a good. Oh wait, what is this?
And then so I watched Super 8 the other day, and it was like,
you know what they should do is combine them and call it Super 8mm.
If I was of the, they should
be a snuff film about little kids.
If I was of the age to appreciate E.T., I might have appreciated this movie.
Yeah. But E.T.'s already been made.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't really care to finish like the last 20 or 30. I don't know if I did or not. I was getting pretty tired, and I was like, I don't know if it's really worth watching
really
the rest of it. And so
you can fast forward to you can fast forward to the end and go, oh, that's what I thought was going to happen.
Damn love story with the fucking Fanning chick,
too. Sap-de-sap.
Yeah,
they
got to really
intersperse
sappy.
That.
And then, the whole,
it's like, I want to watch Zombieland and then cut out the whole fucking sap romance part, and it'd be a perfect 1 hour movie.
Yeah. If you want to watch Super 8 or a movie such as that, go and watch Stand By Me again. Cause
it's way better.
It is.
And it was filmed in Brownsville.
Partly. It's reeked. Of wanting to be the next Stand By Me. And I
can smell it from here.
I didn't think it played up. I didn't think it lived up.
Yeah, but you know what did live up? I listened to Disco Volante, which is an album by Mr. Bungle. I kind of discarded it for a while because I'm a big fan of their first one, self-titled. Mm-hmm. California is another one of theirs, not really that listenable. It's kind of hit or miss. It's background music, but listen to Disco. I listen to Disco Volante in a mix-up in my six-pack, and then I actually sometimes choose one out of those after I've listened to it on random, and I listen to the full album in its entirety. I did that with Cause of Death by Obituary.
Sometimes you can't help.
No, an album needs to be listened to in its entirety sometimes.
Yeah, when you hear a song like... in a very similar fashion. If I hear a song off of Angel Dust.
You got to hear the whole album.
You got to hear the whole album. I mean, as great as those songs are, what's that, Caffeine?
Uh-huh.
Then you're like, bam, I'm putting that whole fucking on.
Yeah, the whole fucking on.
I want to hear Midlife Crisis.
And the Kindergarten
Song.
And
Crack
small,
Hitler.
Small Victory, all those great albums.
Like,
and if anyone doesn't know what the hell we're talking about, you should listen to Angel Dust by Faith No More or turn this program off right now.
And put that on.
And put that
so
on.
So that's what I'm going to say I was listening to.
Cool.
Just because I did listen to that recently.
Faith No More. Check that out on iTunes and check us out on iTunes. We probably better get out of here because I got to do plugs and then I got to go to a...
party!
I got to go to a party because we're going back in time.
Yeah. And if
Chris
anybody
Castles
hears
is moving
tonight,
away. That was a hell of a party.
And it's last Sunday. Come on down.
Yeah. No, you're not invited. It's a surprise party.
Oh.
And that's why I can say this, because it will have already have happened. And so Chris won't have any way of finding out if he listened to the show, which he doesn't anyway.
Yeah.
So, Chris Castles moving
off. You bust out the old supply joke on stage sometime.
Supply?
Yeah, the Chinese guy.
Oh, a surprise? A surprise party?
Yeah, when they tell him he's in charge of supplies and with his new job at the office, and so they can't find him, and then they find him, and he jumps out and yells,
says, supplies! And they're like, you're fired.
Yeah.
So, check us out on iTunes. Give us a rate. Rate us out of 5 stars, please. And then you can talk shit about us in the review if you want.
Sure.
Whatever. Go to TagCast Podcast. Go to Pizza Now, man. That new pizza.
Oh,
yum.
The meat market we tried tonight. Yeah,
it's better than fucking going to the Buzzsaw on a Friday night.
It is,
back
man.
Back in 1983.
Some good stuff. There was some seasoned hamburger on there, bacon.
Bacon.
Canadian bacon.
Bacon.
And pepperoni.
Bacon.
And
Canadian
some more bacon.
And
or something. But it's
sausage,
fantastic. They
pepperoni,
got like 4 new
bacon.
Pizzas on there. And they're all worth trying.
Some have some have spinach.
Yeah, there's a nice olive oil, garlic, spinach-based tomato and bacon pizza.
Some have meatballs.
Meatballs on a pizza. Can you imagine?
Yeah, meatball pizza.
Yeah, it's as if pizzas were made in Italy.
That's right, and they are. So get on down there and go to Complete Ag Resolutions. I might have to call him up because I think my fucking mower blew up.
Kapow!
I'm having mower woes.
You would know if your mower blew up because it would be in pieces.
No, literally, like, it blew into pieces, so I think it blew up.
Yeah.
No, it just went pop, and then, like, some oily smoke came out, and then I went to check the oil, took the dipstick out, and, like, mm-hmm. tendrils of smoke rolled out of the oil compartment. Mm. And now it's, like, froze up. I try to start, and it goes... It, like, won't even turn over because I think it's seized up. I think I broke something internally.
I think that's coming back when you call people a dipstick.
Anus, you dipstick! Mm-hmm. Hey, Stan, if you're listening, I know you can't listen every day, but you claim to. Huh? Maybe you do. Send me a message if you hear this and fix my mower, bro.
Yeah. Come on, dipstick.
I'll haul it over there in my van, and you can fix it right up. Complete Ag Resolutions. Check them out on Facebook, and have a happy hump day.
Yep, rock on.
We'll see you on Friday. Peace out. And metal. Up your butt. Hey, Taggots. What are you doing? I'm going to tell you what you should be doing. Going out to see some comedy shows and some hard rock and some metal shows and... I don't know, just go to a bar and get drunk someday because it's good for the soul. You don't just want to sit in your house all the time. June 20th at the Wow Hall. Wowie, wow, wow hall. Pauly Shore. Weird.
What?
I don't know what's up. What's he going to do? He's going to tell jokes, I guess. Recite Biodome in its entirety. Go check it out. I think tickets are way overpriced, $20 or something. But go check him out if you love Pauly Shore. June 23rd, the TagCast podcast will be in Portland at the Comedy House doing interviews all day with comedians. And then afterwards, we're going to head down to the Ash Street Saloon for Patrick Thomas Perkins' House of Merkins Down and Dirty Dark Comedy Showcase. Feature myself, Veronica Heath, who's been on Portlandia and the Bridgetown Comedy Festival. Also Josh Lay and some others, a lady down from Seattle that I don't recall her name. But it's going to be funny as hell. $5 donation. And hell is funny if you worship the devil. June 26th, Machine Head, Separation of Sanity, Proven, and American Roulette at the Hawthorne Theater. Three local bands getting opened up for a nationally headlining band. Kind of cool. Go check that out. June 28th, I will be doing a solo acoustic set at the Cosmic Pizza in Eugene, Oregon. That's on 8th. Starts at 7 o'clock. It's $10, all ages. Other bands include Milepost and the Tripwire Project. I think they've added a couple more that I don't know about yet. But if you go buy tickets online, make sure you click Terry Guile because it'll help me. And if you don't, I don't care because I'm not sure about those guys anyway. But come to the Cosmic Pizza June 28th. Should be fun. Also, if you're not in that area and you happen to be up in Portland that night, go see the Slayer tribute band Live Undead because they're kick-ass, featuring members of Body Bag and Everclear, which is just weird. Also playing that night is Raptor and Coven. It's at the Ash Street Saloon. It's $10. 21 and over, it's 9 p.m. And 2 days later, a classic band that me and Gatch had the pleasure of opening for one time, MDC, along with Verbal Abuse and some other punk bands, also at the Ash Street Saloon. That's the 30th of June. It's a Sunday. 8 o'clock show, $10 at the door, 21
and
over.
Also, 2 days later, a new band name.
Yeah, 2 days later, band name. Also, June 30th, if you're not 30th, I'm talking like I'm... urban here. June 30th. If you don't happen to be in Portland, Oregon, come down to the Eugene area for Sam Bond's Garage Bleepin' Funny with your hostess, Leanne Jashaway. It's a birthday. It's 8 p.m. It's not her birthday. I'm freaking out right now. It's a show. It's a free show. And it is a show. And you have to be 21 to get in, and it's 8 p.m., and there'll be no fucking cussing. It's bleeping funny. There'll be an improv troupe there as well. July 3rd, Rockstar Mayhem Festival with Rob Zombie, Mastodon, and Amon Amarth at the White River Amphitheater in Auburn, Washington. July 13th, it's 30-pound test with In Her Memory and guests at the Dixie Creek Saloon for Dave Wilson's birthday bash. That starts at 9 o'clock. It's free, and you got to be an adult with ID to get in. Black Flag at the Hawthorne Theater with Good For You and Piggy, July 18th. July 20th, also at the Hawthorne at 6 Feet Under with Decrepit Birth, Cannabis Corpse, and two other bands that I don't have right here. Every Time I Die is coming to the Hawthorne Theater on July 31st. And then we got a bunch more shows coming up. Doug Benson's coming to Salem on August 8th. Also Foghat in Albany, August 8th. The Melvins are coming, Black Sabbath, Gary Numan, Raven and Diamond Head, Creator and Overkill. Listen next week for information on all those shows. Right now, come out and do something. One of those things I just told you. And then come back and listen to TagCast Podcast at our website, tagcastpodcast.com.